Well, as I was saying, you know, it's sad to say, if you ask the majority of Christians, those in the church world, about The Chosen, their response would be the series. It is what it is. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands as to how many of y'all have seen it, because it's okay. But I think when you look at our salvation experience and you ask the question about our salvation experience, we get a little confused sometimes, because for the most part, we're going to tell, I'm going to tell you, one morning I woke up and I decided to choose Jesus. And saints, this walk that we're in, it's not about us choosing Jesus. It's about realizing that the one that I thought I chose me first. And yes, we do have to come around to making a choice, but that choice is accepting the fact that he had chosen not just me personally, although I do take it personal, and y'all should know that if you've been here long enough, I take all of it personally. But he chose all of mankind. The plan of salvation that God put in place from the foundation of the earth is not a plan that was specifically for this group of people or that group of people. And I always say, I got to put my disclaimer out there, because I don't want anybody leaving here thinking that, well, Sister Lincoln said that, you know, some folks are predestined to go to hell and some folks are predestined to go to heaven. Or maybe I should say, some folks are chosen to go to hell and some folks are chosen to go to heaven. What I'm saying is all of mankind is chosen. Jesus told his disciples in John 15, verse 16, he said, ye have not chosen me. Now think about that. Here he is walking around the towns. They see him. They run up. Okay, I want to be part of this band of disciples that he has. But he's saying, no, you didn't choose me. But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So this morning, I want to share this fact, that I am a chosen one. Now, you can have a fact of your own and decide you are a chosen one too. But for me, I am a chosen one. And I'm a chosen one because of God's love. I'm a chosen one because of the sacrifice that Jesus paid on Calvary's cross. I'm a chosen one because one day I came to myself, just like the prodigal son did, and said, wait a minute, my father has made this provision for me. I'm going back to my father's house. I'm going to live under my father's roof. See, and that's something we have a problem with sometimes, because we do like to say, well, I'm grown. I can do what I want. I can make my own choices. I can live the way that I want to live. But that is so far from the truth. We've been bought with a price. We are no more our own. And because of that reason, when we are living under the Father's roof, when we are obeying his laws, his wills, we do what God has called us to do. And as Jesus told his disciples, there is a reason I have chosen you. We're not chosen just so we can have everybody looking, See how blessed I am. I live in a big house. I drive a fine car. I wear good clothes. And you can't touch my gems. That is not why he has chosen us. Now, granted, we do get blessed. We are blessed people. But that's not what it's all about. He chose us. He ordained us that we should go forth and bring forth fruit. Now, what does that mean, bring forth fruit? That means that I'm going to tell somebody about what Jesus did. You know, we like to tell about what he has done for us, how he has blessed us. And it's okay, because everybody wants to tell the goodness of God. But our priority message, the priority thing that we need to be getting out to people is Jesus Christ and him crucified. The main thing we need to be telling people, it's about a dead lamb and a puddle of blood. It's about by what he did on the cross, in what he did on the cross, through what he did on the cross. It's all about the cross. Because see, without the cross, we have nothing. Without the cross, without the shedding of blood, without the sacrifice that Jesus paid for us, we're just like anybody else. Time out for being like anybody else. You know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, spinning out of control, just looking at what is going on just in our nation alone. And I'm not getting political. I'm just saying, just open our eyes and see what is going on. You know, I find myself, okay, so I'm gonna tell off on myself. I'm 65. I like being 65. But I find myself turning into my mom and daddy. Because I think, well, I remember when, you know, and I'm looking at certain things that are going on and I'm going, well, that didn't happen when I was a kid. And I can remember just hearing little tidbits from my parents about certain things. And they would go back to when they would remember then, or they would remember when things were different. And so I find myself saying that sometimes. And although it's all dark and dreary, that's the way I see it, when I look at our nation, it still brings a smile to my face. And it brings a smile to my face because that tells me Jesus is soon to come. See, I remember when I was a kid, back in the 60s, they used to call them doomsday preachers. And they had signs up and they would be shouting, "The end is near. Jesus is coming back." That was a true statement. Just as we can stand here today, as we look at what's going on, and we can say, the end is near. Jesus is coming back soon. Don't know when that soon is, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, but don't know when that soon is, but what we do know, it's sooner than it was yesterday. He is soon to return. You know, before I come out on Wednesday night for Bible class, I watch the news. I watch local news a lot because I want to know what's going on in the Metroplex. And on WFAA, Channel 8, they have a segment called Wednesday's Child. I don't know if anybody else watches WFAA. Wednesday's Child is about a child who is in the foster care system, and that child is looking for a forever home. That child is looking to be adopted. And I look at that, and I think that's really, really a good effort for them to put this out there, because they've had hundreds of kids that have been adopted, out of the system. You know, so man can sometimes do something that is not terribly wrong. But what we have to look at is that the cost of God adopting us is far greater than any cost that man can adopting a child. The deepest and strongest foundation is located not in the act of humans adopting humans, but in God adopting humans. Do you ever think about that? God adopting humans. Romans 8 and 15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of adoption, the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And this is what I was getting at when I talked about being chosen. And I've heard so many people who have been adopted say their family was the greatest because they knew that they were wanted, because somebody chose them to provide for them, to take care of them, to love them. Does that sound like anybody we know? Our adoption by God is because of his love for us. He loves us enough that he wants to provide for us. Jehovah Jireh. He wants to be the one that supplies all of our need according to his riches and glory. He wants to protect us. His angels are encamped round about us, protecting us and keeping us from all hurt, harm, or danger. He wants to love us. No greater love hath any man than he lay down his life. Adoption means to take someone or something by choice into a relationship. He chose to bring us into communion with him. He chose not to allow us to die in this sinful state that we were pushed into. And I say that because none of us were in the garden, but because of the fall, that means that for all of us, the wages of sin is death. For all of us, hell was our destination. But when we turned our attention to Jesus, when we decided to accept him, when we believe, when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, when we accept the sacrifice that he paid on Calvary, when we identify with him, realizing that when he was crucified, we were crucified with him. When he went down in that grave, we went down in that grave with him. And on that third day when he rose and got up, we rose and got up too. But I always say it gets even better. There's a better getting up that we're going to do. There's a better getting up that when those clouds bust open and he comes back, this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. I will be changed. And it's because of that adoption. It's because of that love. You know, when you think about somebody being adopted, now granted, they may not be the biological parents. And I say it that way because I know I just read an article not too long ago, several months ago, where biological parents had to adopt their own child. But that's not what I'm talking about here. They may not be the biological parents, but because they are raising this child, because this child has spent time with them, because they have this relationship, they understand each other, the child can take on the characteristics of the parents. We need to be taking on the characteristics of Jesus. You know, that's a problem we have. We want to look like the world. We want to act like the world. We want to talk like the world. We want to live in the world. But we are a set apart people. Being adopted, he has taken us out of the world, set us in a place, and encamped us. To be adopted means that we need to be standing in the place where Jesus stood. For when he said, Abba, Father. See, Jesus didn't have a problem knowing who his father was. So if we are adopted into that same family, we ought not have a problem knowing who our father is. Unless we're identifying with a different daddy. We need to be able to identify with God as our Father. We need to be able to identify with Jesus. Because all that we get, all the blessings that are bestowed upon us from salvation, and I'm using salvation as day one, from salvation to rapture, to eternity. The only way that we receive these things is in Jesus. If we do not place our faith in what he did at the cross, if we do not place our faith in him being our substitute man, we receive nothing. But our adoption into God's family is not so much as to what it is that I get out of it. But I do get some nice stuff. You know, if you sit back and you begin to think about how God has blessed your life, and then even better than that, the stuff that you don't know that he has done that has blessed your life. So we do get some benefits. But that is not the priority. That is not the reason he brought us into his family. He is gracious. He is loving. But he brought us into his family so that we can tell other people about him. Tell the world of his goodness. And our adoption doesn't come from a choice that we made. But our adoption is based on the choice that he made. I want to look at Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 4 says, accordingly, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And that just states it right there. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He didn't choose us when we were walking along and decided, oh, I'm no longer going to go down that simple path. He chose us when we didn't have a mind to do anything but sin. He chose us when we didn't have a mind to look to him, to love him, but yet he loved us first. And it's because of that love that we experience being adopted, being bought into the family. You know, I don't know any other way to say it, but when we were in the family of Satan, that's ghetto time. I don't know anything else to say. That's ghetto time. But being adopted into the family of God, that presents itself completely different. You know, that's not saying that everything is going to be a bed of roses. Everything is going to be hunky-dory. We're not going to have any problems. You know, we're going to just cruise on through, la 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 la. No, that's not the case. We will have issues because they that live godly will suffer persecution. And when you think about Job, Job was adopted into God's family. And everything was not a bed of roses for Job. He lost all his kids. He lost all of his herds, his house. His wife said, "Why don't you cuss God and die?" The person that was supposed to be closest to you, you know, being your support when you're going through. And the only reason why these things were allowed to happen to Job, the only reason why Satan was allowed to tempt him, was because God allowed it. So we know that as we go through this life, there are going to be times when God allows things to come on our life. And when these times happen, you know, we can't stop and go, "Oh Lord, woe is me. God, why is this happening to me?" Pastor says it so well. Why not? Why not? Who am I that I am so good, so great, that nothing has to come my way? I don't know. Somebody has to help me with that one. Having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He predestinated us to be adopted. How? By Jesus Christ. It's like I said earlier. Everything that we get is by what Jesus did at the cross, in what Jesus did at the cross, through what Jesus did at the cross. Although God chose mankind, our adoption is based on the sacrifice. Because during that chosen part, God knew what he was going to do. And I say that meaning from the foundation of the world, Jesus had a purpose, and that purpose was to redeem mankind. So all of this played part from the beginning. Because sometimes people like to say, "Oh, so God made a mistake with Adam and Eve in the garden, and so he had to come up with a different plan." That would mean that God makes mistakes. That's not the God that I serve. My God makes no mistakes, okay? So no, that wasn't a mistake. His foreknowledge had already told him what was going to transpire. It was just a matter of time that it did. And when it did, he already knew the plan that was going to go. So don't get confused unless you serve a different God. But he didn't make a mistake. But our adoption is by Jesus Christ according to the pleasure of his goodwill. Now, when we're adopted, that means to be placed as a son. And the Romans had a term, they used the term adoption when it referred to maybe somebody didn't have any children, or maybe they did have children, and they chose to bring somebody into their family. And when they brought this person into their family and they adopted this person now had all the legal standings as a biological child. Meaning everything that was in the household that the parents said they could have, they could have. So by us being adopted by God, and we like to use this term, and that's another message I'll have to preach at another time, but we become heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. We get the full benefits of being a son. You know, there is no half-stepping when it comes to God. And it was because of the good pleasure of his will, meaning that it pleased him to adopt me. It pleased him to redeem mankind. It pleased him to send his only begotten son down here. It pleased him to have his son die on the cross and shed his blood. Not because of anything that he did, but because of something that I did, have done, will do. It pleased him. And it pleased him according to his will. The pleasure of his will that we can become sons of God. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. One of the things that I liked about this verse is it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. I grew up in a household with six kids. And my mother did work for all of my growing up life. My daddy was in the military. He retired. But yet, they had six kids. Now, if you have children, any amount, you know what it is to feed and clothe and take care of six kids. And I can remember, I was pretty active when I was in school. And I became a majorette. Well, you know, you got to pay for uniforms, batons, boots, camp. There's just a lot that goes into that. And I can remember going to my parents and telling them that I needed a pair of boots. Of course, they were cute, you know, back in the 70s, white, right here, you know, looking like little go-go boots, right? But those boots cost $27. Now, back in mid-70s, and you have six kids, $27 is a lot of money. So my daddy just told me straight up, no, we ain't buying no boots because we ain't got no money to be doing that. But I can remember my mama. She saved up her lunch money to buy me those boots. And because I know that, now we're talking 50 years later, I still appreciate my mama for saving up her lunch money to buy me those boots. And I would tell her, Mama, I appreciate you. Thank you so very much. That was a $27 pair of boots. God has given us eternity. He has paid a price for our redemption that you can't put a dollar amount on it. He bankrupted heaven to send his son to earth to die for my sins. Now, ought I not be appreciative of that? You know, I said that about me and everybody's going, amen. Ought you not be appreciative of that? And we ought to show him the praise. We ought to let him know we appreciate it. You know, and when we worship God, we don't worship him because of everything that he has bestowed upon us. Although being adopted, like I said, we get some good stuff. However, we need to be praising and worshiping him because he is our Father. He is our Savior. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is our Deliverer. He is our all in all. Whatever it is that you need, that's who he is. And that's who we need to be praising. That's who we need to be worshiping. To the praise and the glory of his grace, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And I think I just hit on that. We have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of sin through his blood. And it's according to his riches, bankrupting heaven for me, a wretch undone. Bankrupting heaven for mankind who he had made out of dirt, breathed the breath of life in, could have easily just wiped the slate clean, got another clump of dirt, and started all over. But his love for man allowed him to adopt us. His love for man allowed him to send his son. The love for man allowed the son to be obedient to death. These are the benefits that we receive through adoption. These are the benefits that allow us to have that relationship with God. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I do have a soft spot when it comes to kids. However, my baby is my baby. And my baby's babies are my babies. And they have a different soft spot in my heart. But with God, it doesn't matter if it's you, if it's you, if it's you, if it's you. Whoever comes to him has that soft spot in his heart. It's a constant. It's a level playing field. It doesn't matter as long as we have placed our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Whew, thank you, Jesus. I want to share one last scripture here. And it's out of 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." There's no better evidence of our adoption in God's family than to know that he has this love that he has bestowed upon us. There's no better evidence of being adopted in God's family is us having the evidence that we can be like him. And that scripture plainly states that one day when those clouds bust open, when he comes back to get his bride, we can be just like him. But if we haven't studied his word, if we haven't spent time in prayer, if we don't come in and sit down and get in under the word, how are we going to know how to be like him if we don't know him? We have to know him. We have to spend time in prayer. We have to spend time in his word. And you know, if I had a child living in my house, I have a good friend that called me a dictator when I was raising our girls. But if I had a child living in my house, there is no way that that child would live in my house and not talk to me. There's no way that that child is going to live in my house and not do what I say. There is no way that that child is going to live in my house and not contribute in some shape, form, or fashion. We as believers, we live in God's house. And it's time for us to take a look at the life that we live in his house. Do we spend time in prayer? Do we spend time in his word? Do we spend time assembling ourselves together with other believers in his house? Do we spend time trying to walk in his way? You know, I told our girls when they were growing up, I used to always tell them, I don't care what you do with your life, but you will do something productive. And I thought about this as I was going through these scriptures, because God cares even more so. He's not just saying that we have to do something productive. In his word, he has laid out the map for us, telling us exactly what it is that we need to do. And if you guys step into the place where I took the bold stance this morning, saying that I am a chosen one, if you step into that same place, being a chosen one, living under the love of adoption, then you need to ask yourself, how am I living in my Father's house? What have I done with this life that he has given me? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy and righteous Father, Abba, Father, we thank you for allowing us the privilege to call you Father. We thank you because you loved us when we didn't have a mind to love you. When you protected us. Lord, we just thank you right now because we realize that it's all in you. It's all about you, Jesus. Father, I ask that you continue to open our eyes to your understanding. Continue to help us to see you for who you are, to see your love, to see your caring, and help us to be able to give you the praise that you are so richly due. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the love that you have poured out upon us.
Thank you, Father God, for sending your Son and him dying on the cross. And that for those of us who have said that you are our Father, that we have the right to the tree of life. You have adopted us as your children, and we are joint heirs. And we thank you for that, God. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. If you have not had a chance to give, please do so in joining us in giving so that we can further helping these children, the orphans, and that we can continue to build in God's kingdom. And we have, for the first time, an upcoming relationship seminar, and it's February the 16th and the 17th. If you would please scan that QR code and register for this relationship seminar. And if you had not done so, this is the last chance to scan the QR code, and it may be outside on the little screen that you can scan that QR code so that we can send you your email for the 2023 tax statement. And with that being said, you are dismissed, and we'd like to see you again here on Wednesday night. Thank you.